Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to episode of 213 of Blunt and John. I am Gail Saunders.
You sure?
AKA Eagle Sessions here with Hollywood Hearn. I'm so excited, man. I'm so geeked to talk to you. Maybe 13 is the unlucky number, but hey, man, we're here. We're talking about the Eagles, and today we're talking about what's the timeline. Talking about, obviously, we're getting close, very close to training camp. Three weeks away. It's about to be on and popping. The news is going to be sprinkling in all over the timeline. Obviously, people on the timeline are trying to get their takes in order. You see, everyone, the takesmen are lining up and making sure their takes are correct and crispy. Everyone's trying to tell us that Jalen Reagor is he who we thought he is, or is Devontae Smith, are the expectations too high? Is Dan Orlovsky talking out of his ass again? Is Danny Green talking too much about Philly fans? We're gonna get into it, but overall, man, how are you doing today?
Gail, I saw a really, really good post the other day that just uplifted my spirits. July, this month right here, this is the last month that we have to deal with without football for until what? The next February? Between August and next February, we're going to have months filled with football. We're going to get back into things. Dude, I'm excited to finally put all of the things that we've been talking about and see it take place on the field. See all these guys that we are hyping up as high as we're hyping them, like Devontae Smith. See year two and guys like Jalen Reagor, who I think, as we're going to get into in the show, I mean, I think that that's almost like a polarizing name, it seems like, in this fan base, because there's a lot of people that are like, yo, we just haven't given this guy enough time in that camp currently. And there's a lot of guys that are quick to pull out the B word and try and say that, like, he's not living up to his expectations. This guy's going to be a bust. Dude, like, it was a rookie wide receiver, and he got injured last year in an offense that was horrible, just straight up horrible. So I'm looking forward to this conversation, man. I want anybody in the comments section to, you guys comprise the timeline. So feel free to direct us in any sort of direction and give your two cents.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to the people already up in the chat. Mark Bird from Oregon, Jason from Iowa. Shout out to Jordan as well. Chris Peaks in the building, Drew Johnson, Ricky Payton. If you guys have takes that we're missing here and you want to talk about, let us know and we'll put you we'll put your topic on and talk about it. But obviously, I mean, if you want to talk about, I was just randomly on the timeline, and all of a sudden you see all this talk about, you know, Jalen Reagor, and you're just like,
out of nowhere.
just like, how have we hashed this conversation? Like, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the targets from last year. Mm-hmm. And in mm-hmm. the first four throws, his first target is a bomb that he catches. The second is an interception.
Yep. Yep.
Let's see.
Ball gets underthrown.
Next is he's overthrown. Wide another open for another ball. Touchdown. Yeah. And then his fourth target is it was thrown short. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you can go back and watch some of his targets and take it for what it is. You saw him get hurt. And then continue to play
after that injury. He did. He finished the game.
He did. I think for me, that's the most exciting part of camp, watching Jalen Reagor progress.
Right.
I mean, it's really a lot of unknowns and a lot of expectations, but, you know, I think he's the type of dude that's going to, he's going to show out.
Absolutely. And I think that one thing that, like, going back and watching every one of his touches that he had last year, there was something that I kind of took away from it. In the fact that, like, I'm like you said, how the deep ball, the bomb was the first thing that he had caught. I feel like in the beginning of the season, we saw a lot of trying to get him the deep ball. And there was a lot of end arounds as well. I feel like that pretty much comprised of a majority of his touches throughout the season. When I look at a lot of the other touches he actually got to get his hands on, there was crossing routes. There was little outs in the flat. I think that his route tree is a lot bigger than we gave him credit for last year. I think that he is somewhat of a complete wide receiver that just simply hasn't been given the right opportunity with coaching and with, you know, guys like Carson Wentz overthrowing him. And B, I just think that he's still a little green, man. Like, just, and to have those nerves as a rookie, it's expected. It's expected that a rookie isn't going to be an absolute superstar. Like, even with a guy like DeVonta Smith, I think he's going to eventually be a superstar in the league. But that doesn't mean that in his rookie season, I'm expecting him to put up 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns, because that's just unrealistic expectations from a rookie.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you go back to the great Jerry Rice. Look at his rookie year. It wasn't the greatest. He had a lot of missteps, but the guy progressed. Am I calling Jalen Reagor Jerry Rice? No, I'm just saying that they all, you know, rookies, you know, have their issues. The other issues are these AirPods. They keep falling out of my ears. So if you see me catching them, like the good receiver I used to be, you know, I still got good hands. Overall, I mean, I think, you know, Jalen Reagor is going to show and prove. And I think the way that it was utilized last year, you know, coming out of the draft, he said, I, you know, kind of model my game after Tyreek Hill and what's his name out of the 49ers wide receiver.
Crabtree?
Nope. Can't think of his name.
Ayuk?
Nope. Slot monster.
Oh, fucking A. Anyway, let's move on. We're getting held up on the name here.
You don't want to talk about
Debo. Debo Samuel.
Yes. Debo Samuel. That's a little COVID brain. But I feel like when you talk about his game and how he was utilized last year, we didn't see that.
Exactly.
So obviously, I'm expecting great things. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that one of the things that we really wanted to see from him last year was both his kick return and punt return ability, because we know that he was able to do that in college. And we even saw him take one to the house in a punt return. But I feel like because he was projected to be the number one wide receiver on that team, the Eagles are a little bit hesitant to put him back there returning kicks, because the last thing you want to happen is something like that Darren Sproles hit that just absolutely crushed him when he was catching the ball on your number one wide receiver. But with getting a guy like Devontae, that opens up a little bit more flexibility with having a guy like Jalen Reagor return your kicks, which I'm really looking forward to this year, because I think he's really shifty and elusive, man. I think that he can be, for a team like ours that has really been lacking on special teams, I think he can provide a jolt of energy.
Now, Birdman 915, Mr. Aaron in the building, he says Greg Ward is the second best receiver right now until proven otherwise. No cap.
Major cap, pal.
I mean, I think Greg Ward, steady Eddie. He's reliable. Mm-hmm. But I feel like in terms of being that deep threat that was sometimes overthrown. I can readily remember, I can't remember Deebo Samuel's name, but I can readily remember him beating corners left and right, veteran corners. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like Patrick Peterson, whose name I also almost forgot. But it is what it is. You know, moving right along. There's a lot of chatter, it's starting from this guy Dan Orlovsky, a guy that we've known to be a proven Wentz supporter, a guy who's
Wentz martyr. Some would even say
he's a ride or die Wentz fan, and he disrespected our man's Jalen Hurts. And he said, if Jalen Hurts plays as well as he can, he can't sniff as good as Carson Wentz is. And even I went back and watched the video.
He even loves Carson's scent. Like, this is getting a little gross.
And I was like, it was so, the disrespect, it was so nonchalant. It just rolled off his tongue. That it was just like, yeah, I could disrespect Jalen Hurts without any repercussion, or just, that's the part that's weird to me, that it's just norm to like disrespect Jalen Hurts and saying that, like, that's a huge quote, man. It's
a huge quote.
He hasn't even had an opportunity to shine yet.
Exactly. And
you're saying that this is like,
no, this is like, it's almost like trying to put a nail in a guy's like career coffin. And the point of the fact of the matter is, it's baseless. This quote is like just a straight up hot take that he's trying to thrust out there in the hopes that he's right. But in reality, like, there has been nothing to show you that Jalen Hurts can't be what Carson Wentz was or more. I mean, like, where Carson set the bar last year is not very fucking high, man. So for Jalen Hurts to come in here and overperform what Carson did here last year, I really don't think is that crazy of a feat. So for him to say something this outlandish, I think it's silly, man. It reminds me of the quote that he ironically enough said during the draft, where he claimed that Justin Fields is like a last out, first in kind of guy in the locker room, which was also baseless.
And it's funny that
there's a pattern there.
You know, he's not a Skip Bayless, but actually Skip Bayless actually loves Jalen Hurts. So
yeah,
that's very, very interesting to see that Dan is, you know, he's out here speaking his mind. Ricky says, listen, opinions are like assholes. Everyone got one. So what Dan says doesn't mean shit until he's proven right, but I highly doubt it. Shout out to James. He's ready. He's ready to go. He's out here saying go Birds. Shout out to Tim in the building. And George, what's up? West Coast gang. He says Dan is a clown. And the funny thing is, you know, he's been a ride or die for our former Eagles quarterback. Mm-hmm. And his former Eagles quarterback that he's been ride or die, Jalen Hurts played better than him last season. Can we get a testify for that, Eagle 100%. Fans? Because we were all here watching. I'm gonna have to give a testify. That's two testifies, because I feel like we all watched it as Eagle fans last season. Who was the better quarterback last season? Mm-hmm. Obviously, we knew that Wentz wasn't himself last season, but it is what it is.
Yeah. As bad as Carson as a season as he had, it's not like he went 0-16, you know, like Dan Orlovsky with the Lions.
But, you know, he did play for UConn. Shout out to UConn. I do like my Huskies. That's my college basketball team, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Shaquan. He's pulling the race car.
Gail, that's literally what I just said, that like that whole Justin Fields comment, the Jalen Hurts comment, there's a little bit of correlation there. He's making baseless claims against, you know, African-American quarterbacks.
Your brother's quarterbacks, man. Your parents out here tell you you got to be twice as good to be recognized. And that's what my father told me. And from my own experience, I see it a lot. You know, it is what it is, man. Like you wonder when I guess these comments have to arise right before training camp. It's got to get spicy. Mm-hmm. You know, they want the timeline fired up. They're getting the timeline fired up. Am I fired up? I'm just reading what I see, because we're addressing
it. Reporting the news, man. We're just reporting the news.
Last week we had to address this list, from the clown. And now we are addressing what the TL was talking about. Looking at this list, this is going to get a little, you know, obviously we're an Eagles podcast, but we're going to try and relate what we saw, you know, from the Sixers, and basically how some of the Eagles players have mentioned and how some of them have shut down their social media pages.
Yeah.
Danny Green on his podcast, he let it all air out. We all know that Danny Green, he's a, you know, NBA champion. He's played on championship teams. Mm-hmm. He was brought in to be that veteran in the locker room. Obviously, he got hurt. He didn't finish the season, but he was protecting one of his teammates. Speaking to John Clark asked, do you think the crowd in Philly can have an effect on someone like Ben in these moments? Green says, for sure, it has an effect on everybody. And I think that's something that needs to change in this city. I love our fans, but when things aren't going well, they can't turn on you. That's the one thing I would disagree with or dislike. Some guys use it as motivation. Some guys have chips on their shoulder, but I think that needs to change. They need to be riding with us regardless of how things are going. We're the number one team in the East, still playing well, and in some games, they'll boo us. That's part of the culture here, part of the way of showing they love us. But with a guy like Ben and other guys, I think they need to stick behind them and stick by them as long as they can, until the horn blows, and even then, he's here. He's given so much to this organization and the city on and off the court that he deserves that respect and support. So, I mean, with all that being read, no pun intended,
yeah.
You know, how do you feel about that? Me and you spoke earlier before the show, and Evan off the hook was like on fire. I was like, bro, did you write that down, or did you just that's just how you feel?
Nah, dude. I mean, like, if I'm speaking completely from the heart, I know we're an Eagles podcast, but like these comments, they hit deep, and I will relate it back to the Eagles, how, you know, comments have been said in the past, but ultimately, like, this is just silly, man. This is absolutely silly. I find it insulting, quite frankly, that an athlete would come to the fan base and say that we have any stake in the blame when they are the guys that are out there practicing and in these games day to day. Are the expectations for us to sit there while Ben goes 1-20 from the line and we give him a pat on the back and we clap for him, we make him feel all warm and gooey? Like, no, dude, like, you are one of the highest contracts on this team. You have an expectation to live up to that contract. And if you get offended by the fact that we don't like your play or we boo you when you perform poorly, go to a smaller market. Like, I don't know how else to break it to you. Philadelphia is not going to change its personality based on who is here. We are a hard-nosed fan base. We expect the best from our teams. And quite frankly, what we saw in the Sixers team this year was a team that was very capable of making a championship run with a superstar that completely fell off during a playoff series. And for us to just sit there in the stands and say, oh, well, you know, they tried their best. No, I'm sorry. It's not good enough. So if you truly feel this way as an athlete, that the fans are too hard on you, go play in a small market like OKC, where they just don't give a shit about the sport teams, because quite frankly, that's just not going to fly here. That's where I stand.
Trey in the comments is letting out a boo, and he's letting you know where he stands. You know, my thing is just there, like, obviously there's got to be a point when you expect certain play from your leaders, guys that get paid the most on your roster. Mm-hmm. You expect them to ball out. I mean, if you're a captain, you expect to be that leader guy, or like expect them to lead the ship. You know, him talking about Ben, obviously Ben had a lot going on. I think he made mention on his other podcast about, you know, his relationships, and he had some mm-hmm. personal issues. Obviously we understand that. But in terms of like thinking about relating this issue to Eagles players, mm-hmm. and this turmoil that they've had on their timeline, you know, Eagle fans can be crazy, but you know, the fact that some of the Eagle fans will at players and say, you know, go F this, I hope you die, da da da. I mean, I get that part. Like, there's a part where you have to be supportive of your team and your players, and you know, the trolling can get outrageous, but you know, there's a level of expectations when you get paid to come play. You know, I think during Wentz's downfall season, there was just like game after game, we saw a play that didn't match the contract.
Yep.
And fans, you know, again, how long have we been in the stadium? And finally, you know, we finally saw the crowd turn on Wentz.
Yeah.
I had never seen it. And when I did,
it took a lot too. It took several weeks.
I remember going on a podcast and saying, wow, this is the first time I've ever seen the crowd turn on Wentz. And as you progressed into the next season, it got worse. I mean, to the fact that you're getting booed by make-believe fans.
Yeah. And
it is what it is.
And I remember back a few years ago, Lane Johnson had made the comment saying that Philadelphia is a tough place to play in because if you start to go down, if you're not performing well, then it doesn't even feel like a home game because the fans will start to boo you and whatnot. But he walked that statement back pretty quickly after he heard all of the backlash that people were giving him. And quite frankly, it was warranted because I love Lane Johnson. I think like I'm so thankful he's an Eagle. I'm so glad he walked that statement back. But quite frankly, he even said in his apologies, like, you know what? We're underperforming as a team. It wouldn't make sense for you guys to come out here and cheer for us if you know, they're pretty much stinking. So I'm glad that he realized that. And I think that there's some more athletes in this city that need to take a page out of that book. But I completely don't take what I say here and assume that like anything that you say to an athlete flies. I agree with you. If you're adding an athlete and telling him that he should kill himself or if he should, you know, just talking horrible things to someone, like you have to do some searching within yourself, quite frankly. These players are well aware that they underperformed, but you telling them to go kill themselves and piling on like that, that's over the top. Don't do that. But to sit there and boo in the stands, you are perfectly allowed to do that as a fan in this city. No problems with it whatsoever.
Now, Drew Johnson from YouTube says, look, I feel you should express discontent, but I don't condone getting out of pocket.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know, the only time that you should roll out of pocket is when, if you're Wentz, you need to roll to your right because that's where your highest completion percentage is.
Yeah.
That's the only time you can get out of pocket and we're okay with it. But James is letting out his boo. Nice. Mark Bird says, did you guys see Skandrick taking shots at Philly again recently? Obviously, there's a Madden game released every year, which has been a two-pack ass lately. You're talking about a guy who used to go to Madden tournaments. I used to sit there in line amongst hundreds of gamers. I've been a Madden head for a long time, and I've gotten to a point where every season it's the same game.
Like, yeah.
So bad that I'm now not even buying the new game.
I mean, all they're doing really is updating the rosters.
Last year was the first year I didn't buy it. And I've been buying Madden since the game was made.
Right.
That's how old I am. So I'm just saying there's this new home field advantage talking about LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And he was basically saying it was trash. And like every city or team has like this home field advantage trait. Like the Cowboys, their thing is like, if you punt, you know, I guess they have an advantage with the punting in that stadium. But, you know, he's always taking shots. Obviously he's had a trash time here in Philly. Obviously the fans trashed him and, I'm okay with it. He put up a, you know, an ass performance while he was here and, it was put on blast. And then he had to go spill the beans and, I guess, be the rat.
I mean, that's all he is, though, is that like the fact that we even signed him, we were in that desperate of a position that we signed Orlando Skandrick. Like, I wasn't happy about it. Dude is like a cowboy through and through. And then for him to get cut and then turn around and start talking trash on us, for him to continue talking trash on us, even though he's actually worn our uniform, that dude is a crumble, bro. Like, come on. Like, I got no respect for Orlando Skandrick. it's, I think, you know, he's just, the only thing he likes to do is get underneath the Eagles fan skin, which he does successfully. So, yeah, I would just ignore him.
I mean, is that what we do? Just ignore him? Because he's going to go, you know, he's going to go on with Skip and talk his trash, but it is what it is, man.
Yeah, those things are going to happen.
Now, did you, there was a recent article out there by Rube talking about the expectations. Is there too much expectations that we're putting on Devontae Smith? And, you know, being a first round pick in the city of Philadelphia always puts you on a target. Mm-hmm. Being a wide receiver drafted in the first round, the target is even bigger. But you know,
how about the fact that he's the most like decorated wide receiver in SEC history also adds a little something to it, to the expectations.
He was just named SEC 2021, player of the year, yesterday. Shout out to them. But I mean, are the expectations too high for Devonta Smith? I don't believe they are. I think, you know, when he's a Heisman Trophy winner, he put up sick numbers. He was a level of consistency coming out of Alabama, being on a team that won a national championship where he was the guy. The whole idea of him against press, I've seen him beat J.C. Horn. I've seen him beat solid guys against the press. He has a plan in place. Not every wide receiver has a plan when they get hands on you. And I think there's a way that he sets defensive backs up where you trust that he's going to get open. I mean, you're talking about separation, and that's what we saw from the wide receivers last year. Separation was kind of but I think he has a plan in place, and he's a crafty route runner. That's the one thing that gets me hyped, is like he's a crafty route runner.
Exactly. I think if you are looking at his route running ability, his hands, just his ability and his speed, his speed and his route running ability is going to allow him to get open against, honestly, elite cornerbacks in this league. He's an elite level player. So I think that a lot of people are sitting here worried about his size. I really think it is going to come down to, it's not going to be that big an issue if you can't touch him. If you can't touch the guy because he's so elusive and shifty, then he's not going to have many opportunities to get hurt. I understand that, like, a guy at his size, at his weight for his position, how it could, it's unnatural, and there's potential for injury. But I'm telling you, this guy's elusiveness is like something I've never really seen in my own Eagles fan life, of a wide receiver that moves the way he does, man. I'm telling you, like, I haven't seen a wide receiver who I think has his type of talent on this team since Terrell. Like, who is gonna, you know what I mean? I think he's got a higher ceiling than Macklin, higher ceiling than Deshaun.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm like, I mean, he's so unassuming, which I love, you know, like, he's just like, you know, you look at him and you're like, all right, is this guy gonna, he's like the quiet storm. He's the guy that he's the ninja. He's the guy
Slim Reaper.
He's there, but he's not there until you see him. And then Mark Bird says, if you can't catch him, you can't hurt him.
That's exactly my point.
And some of these numbers here. So basically Rube went back and he looked at the careers of every wide receiver drafted between the 5th and the 15th pick during the period from 2000 to 2018. And he came away with some really interesting stats. 10 of the 27 wide receivers, there's 27 wide receivers drafted from the 5 to 15 during the span from 2000 to 2018. 10 of the 27 are still active. So very, very interesting. Of the 27 wide receivers drafted, only 5 ever have made a Pro Bowl, and only 3 made multiple Pro Bowls. That was Julio Jones, Mike Evans, and Odell Beckham Jr. Roy Williams and Corden Robinson made one Pro Bowl each, but they had disappointing careers overall. Only 13 of the 27 had at least 1,000-yard season in their career. Only six had multiple 1,000-yard seasons. That was Evans, Jones, Beckham had five. Plaxico had four. Crabtree had two. Lee Evans had two. So seven of the 27 never had 700 yards in a season. And 12 of the 27, which is 44%, had only one or fewer career seasons with 700 yards.
I was doing all the counting on my fingers.
But, hey, you know, I'm like, bro, he's going to outwork the rest. Shout out to Todd. He says he's a hard worker. He's going to outwork most guys. But the expectations are high, which I think he sets for himself. And I think him going in, that's just how he is. I think that's how he's built. So, obviously, he comes in with that mindset. And that's awesome for, like, Rager to be around.
Yeah,
another dog.
Absolutely right. They're going to build off of each other. And honestly, like, I hope that we get that CB2 in the Eagles facility sometime soon, because we're going to have two high level wide receivers, I think, out there, and we're going to need equal competition for them on the other side. You saw Darius Slay putting it out there that he kind of was putting the feelers out to Steven Nelson. You see that?
There's a lot of love going back and forth between Darius Slay and Steven Nelson. Mm-hmm. I was just like, what is going on over here? Like, what is going to happen?
You know, there's conversation going on behind closed doors between players. I mean,
can we all agree that it's we're waiting for Ertz to be moved?
Yeah.
And now Dave Spadaro said, hey, he's coming back to training camp. Mm-hmm. Ertz is coming back to training camp, so he doesn't get fined. It's not like he wants to lose money.
Of course. Why would he want to do that?
It go out on a bad note and not come to practice? Come to practice? Speaking of, we have Mr. Prime in the building.
Ew.
See Devontae killing those stats. Hopefully you're killing those stats. Prime had bowl.
He's better bowling turkey right now, bro.
Prime is in a bowling league, by the way. And hopefully he's putting up those numbers.
The ball's on this guy.
Speaking of Prime, I went to a restaurant in Bethlehem. Shout out. It's also called Prime Restaurant.
Okay.
Prime doesn't own it, but Prime is a great steakhouse in the area. Shout out to Terrell, who was a fan of Fourth and John.
Nice.
And, you know, I didn't have my mask on in the restaurant.
That's surprising from you, knowing you, actually. But you're living a new life now that you're vaccinated.
You know, I took down the mask. He's like, yo, I love Fourth and John, blah, blah, blah. But shout out to Terrell and the Prime Restaurant. The food was tremendous.
Did you extend an offer to the tailgate in the future?
I did.
All right.
I did. Got myself a nice steak.
Nice. Are you a New York Strip guy? You a porterhouse? What are you?
New York Strip and filet mignon if I'm feeling sexy.
Oh, filet is top tier. Filet.
But I've had this thing every Thursday that I get myself a steak. Because I feel like after this pandemic, you know, it's a treat yourself kind of day. You know, I did it early. I did it early, but every once a week I got to get a steak.
I like it.
Treat yourself, man. Life is short, man. I keep telling people, man. Life is short, man. Jay Cross, shout out to Jay Cross in the building. He said, but how was the steak cooked? I go medium.
I'm a medium man as well.
Like a little, you know, I like a red.
Little cook. Not medium well. Just medium. Pink in the middle. That's what I want.
Prime is still on the Julie Ertz kick.
Man, he's good.
I think it's time, man. I think it's the power couple. They've done a lot for the city. It's tremendous. Then they also did a commercial for sleep. I think sleep mattress.
Well, if they're doing commercials for sleep mattress, we can't afford to lose them.
So, I mean, what else you got, man? Yeah, any other anybody in the chat? Did we miss anything that's on the timeline that has been spoken about?
touched on Danny Green, touched on our man Jalen, the other Jalen, Mr. Orlovsky.
I've heard, you know, I was speaking to someone recently there, and they're just saying that, you know, we were talking about the record. And he was like, oh, we're going to go 7-2. And his overall 7-10, his overall vibe was that, that we're a little bit too young at certain positions and, or certain positions and head in coaching positions. Our head coach is a rookie. I mean, you have a first year starter in Jalen Hurts coming back. I mean, what other positions? And you have some rookie wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, rookie wide receivers. I'd say Jalen Reagor, this could be his sort of rookie year 2.0. Because he missed a lot of games.
No, for sure. For sure. That thumb injury definitely took him out a big chunk of the middle of the season. And that timing of his injury was also the beginning of the downfall of Carson Wentz as well. So, like, when he eventually got back into this roster, the offense was in shambles. So it was kind of harder for him to break through when just everything is a complete mess.
Yeah. Shout out to Jay Cross again. He says, yes, you guys missed Nate Jerry getting released from the Niners.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
He didn't even make training camp, dude.
Huh?
He didn't even make training camp.
I know, because he's a bum.
I mean, it just tells you that.
That was our starter last year for the first half of the season.
Mm. Interesting. Todd says, when are the Eagles going to release the new Nike limited jersey? Who do you think the player will be, Hurts or Sanders? I have to believe it could be a Sanders jersey. The Nike limited jersey. Or they could throw a Hurts in there. I mean, do they believe? If they believe, you'll get a Nike limited jersey out of them.
I've honestly got no idea.
I'll go Sanders. Mark Bird says 10-7, the youth movement is going to shock the East. I can dig it, man.
I love your optimism.
I could dig 8-9, 9-8. Because obviously we're really talking about health, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like people don't realize how many people were banged up on the offensive line. What, 13 different line changes? The defensive line. You know,
mm-hmm.
We got Ryan Kerrigan. We got some juice there.
We got no punter.
We don't have a punter.
Cam Johnson's gone, isn't he?
Wow.
Tough out here, bro. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, punters are people too. You know what I mean?
I mean, I try and get that point across as often as I can.
Mr. Paul Wadey in the chat says he's going with 9-8. Interesting. Interesting. Where are you at with this?
See, you know what? You think I don't know what you're doing right now? You're going to try and get a record out of me, and then you're going to close up the show and not give a record yourself. Like that's your move that you're going to try and pull here. And I just said
9-8.
You think 9-8 is their season? I don't think we go above 500. I'm going to go 8-9.
I mean, a 500 record or close to it could still win you the NFC East.
I think that is something that we've gotten very used to as a being in the NFC East is just the NFC least teams underperforming. I think that the time is really ticking on that. I think that it's really hard for four teams to stay as bad as they've been for this long. Someone is going to eventually break through in this division. I think potentially Washington has a shot just solely based off of Ron Rivera. If maybe the Giants can figure it out, I don't want to believe it's the Cowboys. But ultimately, the point is that somebody in this division is going to figure it out. If it's another NFC least year, this is definitely, I think, the last year that's possible. It's going to get back to normal soon.
Shout out to Jordan, but tell Jordan that there's an extra game next season. So is that an 11? In six
or ten, or is seven. That
a 10-7?
That, those two feel entirely different. 11-6 and 10-7.
Oh, Todd in the chat goes 9-6 and 1. Who's the tie, though? Who's the tie against? Ricky being super positive. He says, I said it 13-4 and Soren's the playoffs healthy.
I want some of what Ricky's got.
He's having a great time over there. I feel like usually the worst team in the NFC East usually goes on to win the division next year. Is that how it is?
it tends to be the way.
Birdman 951 says, please take down that Carson Wentz banner off the stadium and put Hurts instead.
No cap.
I heard through the grapevine that was put out there on the timeline as well that it's Jason Kelce.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. And I also heard that the old Wentz photo is going to be hung up in Prime's basement.
Yeah. He does have the Miles Sanders. He does have the Miles Sanders fat head, which has been locked and loaded.
Yeah, but Carson's on the ceiling looking down upon him at all times.
It's kind of weird. that is definitely kind of weird. Here's a Prime out here getting ready for the season.
Just launch that down the bowling lane.
Also, Prime getting ready for the season. No, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Right now, how geeked are you about the season?
12. I'm fucking pumped, dude. I don't care that we are like. That's what I feel like me and you, a lot of the Eagles diehards out there, I'm going in with the expectation of not being around 500. Like I said, an 8-9 type team. But you're out your mind if you think that I'm not going to be up and ready and pumped for every single one of those games. I love NFL football, specifically Eagles football. They're my team, my number one place in my heart. So, yeah, I'm going to be pumped for it no matter what.
Shout out to shout out to Harry O, who,
the man, bro.
Basically,
man.
I have secured the bag for tickets this season. I am locked in for tickets. But the only issue is I'm trying to split them between my guys, Evan and Prime right now, and they have to fight for who's going to go to which game. So
should we throw it to the chat and what our competition should be?
We're trying to figure out a competition for Evan and Prime to go head to head. It could be Greco-Roman naked wrestling, perhaps. weird naked choke.
Gonna have to talk to my agent about that one.
What should it be? A horse? A game of horse? Should it be a fight in the octagon? A little blood sport.
I want everybody to just take a look at Prime's arms versus mine before you recommend any sort of arm wrestling competitions.
If you sweep the leg, though,
how do you sweep the leg in an arm wrestling competition?
Sweep the leg. Let's see. We have Mark says cheesesteak. Eating contest.
I can get down with that.
Todd says, who can hold a dab hit the longest?
I got him cooked.
Trey off the top rope with Connect Four. Keeping a PC.
I get down with some Connect Four. I don't know about that one. I don't think anybody wants to see that.
This is going to be interesting.
I'd be down for a race for sure. I'd be down for a race.
You think you're faster than Prime?
I'd like to see where I rank. Dude, but honestly, how fast I used to be able to run when I first started doing this show versus now, man, it would be ugly.
That would be interesting. Someone's going to pull a hammy, but we're going to be writing these down, and we're going to get you guys.
If I lose the race, I'm 100% blaming it on the broken hip that is 100% recovered at this point. It's just an excuse.
Are you allowed to run?
Yeah, 100%. I can do whatever.
Okay. We don't have insurance on the shoot.
Yeah, I know.
So we're going to be filming.
Like I said, if I lose, I'm blaming it on the broken hip. So.
And Drew's, you're making Drew laugh over here. Because if you broke your hip, because last time we did a running exercise, I blew out my hamstring.
Yeah, we're not so good with the physical competitions.
I blew out my hamstring.
You cut up your hand real bad too.
I have scars on my hands. I lost a lot of blood and skin off my hands.
Remember going to Target before we filmed the show.
And I ran on a torn ACL. I shouldn't have been running, but that's how competitive I am. Paul says 100-yard dash or cheesesteak eating contest is the best.
I think that they're both very strong. Yeah, I agree. I mean, we got I don't want to go through that pain again.
How about some slap fighting? That's the new sport, said Jay.
Well, what do you mean by slap fighting? Is that like the one where we stay stationary, like our feet stand still and you try and hit the other person? Like, is that what it is? You like get to dodge it? I think that's what it is.
And Jay's a game. We could do games. I mean, I know Jay has a gaming channel. He's on his Twitch platform. Check out his gaming channel.
I'd be
you guys could do maybe some GTA, maybe.
Maybe.
Some Call of Duty.
You've been doing the deep dive in GTA, bro.
That's all I talk about.
Gail re-downloaded GTA like a week ago. That's all he's been talking about.
I'm like, everyone's like, what are you doing, man? I'm playing GTA. What are you doing in the game? I'm like, I'm on the stock market. I'm selling stocks.
Selling virtual currency.
Birdman says, who can write the best diss track against the Giants? Oh, I mean, I'm telling you, Trey has the best one right here. Rock, paper, scissors.
Rock, that is a good one, considering Nick Sirianni. I like that.
Ricky says a friendly game of Madden, perhaps.
I'll be down with that for sure.
James off the top rope with the beer chug contest. Whoever can drink the most beers in 3 minutes. I'd like to see suds come out of someone's nose.
As long as it's not coming through a beer funnel.
And this is all for the winner gets to decide which games to go to. So there's three games that they're going to get to pick. They're both going to three games. I mean, looking at that schedule, which game are you trying to eye up? Like, obviously you want to go to the Cowboys game.
The Cowboys game is big on my list. Hold on, let me pull it up.
And in the chat, if there's any games that you guys are attending, shout out what games you're going to.
Well, we already have the tickets to the home opener. So we're all going to be there together versus the 49ers. That Cowboys game, we are going to be down in Dallas for. That Saints one, it's going to be a good one.
Prime's in the chat saying, wait a minute.
That Saints one's going to be a good one. I want to see Justin Herbert, to be honest with you. I would like to see that Chargers team.
Okay.
A few players on that team that I would like to see.
Todd was also mentioning that. How about a Manscaped device in the challenge?
What are we going to do? Who can shave off the most hair? I'm down with that.
Yeah. Jay says he's attending the Tampa Bay game with my dad for his 72nd birthday. That's what's up. That's a great time. George is going to Vegas game.
Very nice.
And very nice. Denver.
Very nice. We'll see you there.
And our resident Oregon fan.
Oregon.
But I think we're good, right? I think we're going to figure that out. We got a lot of good advice on this show to incorporate
maybe
the ticket challenge.
Maybe we could do, I mean, we're always doing giveaways on this show. Maybe we could do a reverse trivia challenge where the comments can throw some trivia questions at us. And, you know, me and Prime go head to head that way.
It's kind of whack. I'd rather see you break your hip.
All right, that's fair.
Run 100.
Should we give something away this show, or should we hold to the next one?
We could give something away. You got something to
I got something to give away, but I got to go get it. I'd love to reverse the roles here and tell you to get a trivia question ready.
I mean, I'm always.
If you could be ever so patient, I'll be right back.
I'm always ready with Eagles trivia. Evan was excited for this trivia. He said, "Look what I got! Look what I got to give." So I'm looking for a trivia question. Let's see. Shout out to Birdman. Yes, we are going to Denver. That is the hope there. Todd is asking, can he answer him? I mean, if you won a prize already,
all right,
and someone beats you.
So anyway, I was perusing through Dick's the other day. I stumbled upon this Eagles chair. It's like an Eagles foldable lawn chair type of thing. Comes with a bag. But I want to give it away. Did you get a question, Gil?
Yes. My question here, this ain't no easy one.
I haven't even sat in it. My butt has not touched it.
I want to know how many games. You guys, is everyone ready for this question? Is everybody ready for this question? This is about my man Ellis Hobbs. I want to know how many games did Ellis Hobbs start for the Eagles in his 2 years with the team?
Good old
he was with the Eagles from 2009 and 2010. And how many games did he start for our Eagles?
It's a good question. It's a good question.
Ain't no easy. It ain't a gimme. It's not really a layup. You're gonna have to do your research a little bit. Ellis Hobbs. I remember that game against who was it? Kenny Britt.
Mm-hmm.
Your mic's a little off. We have 18 from Todd. We have 10 from George. You guys are close. Kevin, we're in this trivia right now. How many games did Ellis Hobbs start for the Philadelphia Eagles? And Evan, show them what we're winning over here.
We've got a foldable Eagles lawn chair with a bag yet to be sat in.
We got a winner here. Shout out
with my rear end.
Shout out to Tim.
Tim Hayes.
Tim Hayes in the building. Getting blessed. Very blessed. Nice. That's a nice chair, dude.
It's a good item.
Salut.
Yeah, so salut. I will send that as soon as I can. Probably send it out tomorrow. Tim, if you could, I'm going to have to get in contact with him over some way. He's got YouTube.
Yeah. Tim, just, shout us out with your address and we'll get you situated. Wiki for the win. Who's Wiki? Wikipedia. Oh, Wikipedia. Nice. But before we get out of here, just shout out to everyone in the chat joining us in. Just a nice light show this week. Just basically, we're all getting ready for the season to start. You know, it's getting down to the nitty gritty. I'm fired up for the Eagles, man. I'm fired up to see how Sirianni takes his team by the horns. I'm fired about the new energy in the locker room. Some of the players are talking about that energy. I know some people talked about Quez Watkins.
Yep.
Some of his route running was a talk of the town the last couple of days. I'm fired up to see what he brings to the table. What else did you? I'm fired up about fired up about Kerrigan.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Salut.
I'm fired up.
And Harris, Eric Wilson.
I'd like to see. I like to see what they bring to the table.
Okay. I think Ann Harris is 100% a step up from Jalen Mills at safety.
Eric, I think Eric Wilson is a step up from Nate Garrett.
I'm fired up about it. Fuck yeah.
So, dude. I'll take that. But any last words or any things that you're fired up about that before we get out of here?
Dude, I am every day that we get closer to the we still got people guessing.
Jimmy's a little late. The Wi-Fi is a little slow there, guy. It was seven, Jimmy.
Yeah, I just like you, Gail. I'm pumped, man. Every day that we get a little bit closer to the season, it just gets all of these reports that leak out, all of these things just to get underneath of our skin. All it is because we are a fan base that is obsessed with our teams, and we have reporters that know that we will bite the cheese any given day. So don't fall for it. Just keep on listening here, tuning in. We will give you the truth as we hear it come in. And thank you, everybody, for checking in. Tim, I'll get you a chair soon.
Yeah, appreciate it. Again, appreciate everyone sticking around. And, man, the gifts have been flowing. And the gifts, we will have we're giving away tickets for the open practice in August in both practices. So stick around if you guys are interested in that. We'll be giving away those probably end of July. So other than that, man, I'm geeked. I'm ready. Thank you guys for sticking around. And as always, it's fly, Eagles fly, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.